calling the Board of Fire Permit Examiners Thursday, May 23rd, meeting to order at 10:05 a.m. Apologies for being late. The traffic was interesting. I'm going to start by reading a brief introductory statement. For the record and in advance of hearing testimony, I would like to explain the procedures we shall be following here today. First, these are civil administrative proceedings being held in accordance with Section 29-32B of the Connecticut General Statutes. Under the General Statutes, this Board is charged with the duty of hearing the case, inquiring and determining the facts de novo, and determining whether those facts would be just and proper cause for denying or revoking a permit. It will occasionally happen that facts and events, as the issuing authority believe them to be at the time of denial or revocation, justified that denial or revocation, but additional facts and circumstances which come to light during these hearings convinces the Board that in all fairness, justice would be served by ordering the permit issued or reinstated. Where no additional evidence or other compelling circumstances are uncovered, however, the Board will respect the judgment of the issuing authority. Under the statutes, hearings of this Board may be conducted informally, but in a manner that guarantees fundamental fairness and the right to cross-examination. All testimony will be under oath and recorded, and all laws against perjury apply to those persons testifying. Be advised, this Board takes perjury seriously and will refer perjury instances to the appropriate authority for full prosecution. Additionally, the Board may subpoena testimony if necessary. These hearings are public hearings, and they fall within the purview of the Freedom of Information Act. Accordingly, appellants and issuing authorities are hereby advised that none of the information or documents introduced here as evidence may be excluded from the public. Both parties may be permitted to make brief opening statements indicating the scope of the case and what they intend to show. In its opening statement, the issuing authority should briefly give the reasons for denying or revoking the appellant's application or permit. You may call witnesses to testify on your behalf. At the conclusion of each witness's testimony, the other party may cross-examine that witness. The Board may also inquire with its own questions, and in doing so, it reserves the right to question all witnesses at any time or to request additional witnesses if necessary. At the conclusion of all testimony, the issuing authority and the appellant may make brief closing statements. Decision of this Board is by majority vote of those members present in voting. The burden of proof in these matters is by a preponderance of the evidence, and it lies with the issuing authority. Accordingly, all tie votes will inure to the appellant. In addition to today, both parties will be informed of the Board's decision by mail within 20 days of today's hearing. In deference to the statutory scheme as codified in General Statute 29-28D and pursuant to Superior Court ruling, in an abundance of caution, the Board will endeavor to maintain the confidentiality of all appellants appearing here today. Toward that end, the Board will refrain from addressing appellants by name or by noting the appellant's address, but instead will address each one simply by the title appellant. The Board hereby requests all witnesses testifying here today to do likewise and to refer to each appellant only by his or her title appellant. Finally, in accordance with Superior Court ruling, the Board cannot entertain hearsay testimony or testimony derived solely from erased records with regard to matters subject to erasure pursuant to General Statute 54-142A. In those matters, testimony to the Board is limited to direct evidence obtained in the course of an investigation or personal recollection of the underlying events. Lastly, please turn off your cell phones or put your phones on vibrate. If you need to have a conversation, please go out in the hall to do that so as not to disturb these proceedings. Thank you. Okay, calling the roll of the Board. Attorney Cinetti.
Here.
Mr. Gray.
Present.
Colonel Lewis.
Here.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Here.
I am here. So we do have a quorum, just barely. Does everybody know their case number? I'm going to call attendance basically by case number, not appellant's name, because appellants are... You don't, if you want to come forward, we can quietly get you your case number. So I'm going to call the cases in order. Just let me know if you're here, just state appellant or issuing authority. Case number one is 22-711.
Issuing authority.
See appellant here.
Thank you.
Did anybody check out on case number one for the appellant?
No.
Or two.
Case number two, 22-855. Case number three, 24-366. Both parties, thank you. Case number four, 22-870.
The appellant is here.
Somebody doesn't know their case number. That's a revocation. Please, if you don't know your number, just come up and Nancy will give that to you. Case number five, 22-465. Thank you, both parties. Case number six, 22-928.
He checked in with me also.
That's a Bridgeport case, so whoever doesn't know who that, yeah. Just, I didn't hear the appellant.
Yes, you're here, Bridgeport case.
Well, we'll figure that out when we get to it.
Oh, he's waiting over there.
Case number seven, 22-507.
No.
Both parties, thank you. Case number eight, 22-803. Bethel here?
They are not.
They're not, did they say they're not coming?
Or they're just, no, I haven't talked to them.
Okay.
No.
Case number nine, 24-083. Do we have an appellant check-in?
No.
Okay. Case number 10, 22-500.
Issuing
authority. Both parties, thank you. Case number 11, 22-898.
Issuing authority.
He checked in.
There's a lot of people that don't know your number,
yep,
so just,
you know, he's got,
oh, you got
he's
your,
got it.
Thank
just
you.
You.
Both parties are here. Case number 12, 22-934. Both parties, thank you. 13,
22-743. Your appellant's also here. Oh, he's over there raising his hand.
Thank you. And case number 14, 22-957. Hebron? Are you for?
Is Hebron, is the issuing, are you the issuing authority? Are you the appellant? He's the appellant.
You're trying to get your permit.
Right. Okay. Is Hebron, the town of Hebron here? They didn't check in with me either.
Okay. Anybody testifying, please stand and raise your right hand so that I can administer the oath. Yeah, if you're testifying or anything. So,
sir in the back, are you anybody, testifying?
Is anybody going to speak?
You're not
going to speak
over there?
Still,
yeah, everybody, yep. I say everybody's going to speak.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear or affirm as the case may be that the evidence you shall give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God or on penalties of perjury?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, you may be seated. Okay, we're going to go a little bit out of order just because there's some people that need to get out of here worse than others. First case is going to be 13-22-743. Here, right?
Yep, the appellant is here.
22-743. Yes. Good morning, everybody. Can you please identify yourself for the record, spelling your last name and indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Jennifer Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. I represent the issuing authority of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection.
Okay. And your witness?
I'm sorry, go ahead. Detective Nikki Ioannis with the Harper Police Department.
Can you spell your last name?
It's I-A M-I-L-L-E-R, I represent the issuing authority.
Thank you both. And counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I would, please. This matter presents a question of suitability. The appellant was stopped while operating his motor vehicle in Hartford. At the time of the stop, police inquired whether he had any firearms in his vehicle, which he denied. The police subsequently determined that the appellant indeed had two firearms in the vehicle, one sitting in the center console with a chambered round, and the other in a bag between the center console and the side of the driver's seat. That bag also had 110 wax paper sleeves containing a substance with a presumptive positive for either heroin or fentanyl, and more than $4,000 in cash, which had been separated by denomination. In addition, police found 22 bags of marijuana and a separate bag inside the vehicle. Based on their training experience, police determined the packaging and quantity of the drugs and the cash were consistent with sale and not with personal use. In light of that situation, the issuing authority respectfully submits the appellant is not a suitable candidate to have a permit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. So would you like to make a brief opening statement, just a few sentences about what you would like to tell us today?
I don't know. They say not denied, but I mean, why would I deny it?
You have to speak up because we can't hear you.
I have my gun permit, so I already denied their registry. So. And I was going through a lot of stuff that, along that time, so I had lost my job and all that stuff. So.
Okay. Just remember to speak up. We have to make sure that the microphone in the middle can hear you so that we can transcribe. Okay, counsel, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you. I'm going to call Detective Ioannis. Ma'am, will you please state your name again and title for the record?
Detective Nikki Ioannis.
And on July 24th, 2021, where were you working?
With the Hartford Police Department.
And on that day, what unit were you working for?
The Street Crimes Unit.
And were you on patrol?
Yes.
Do you recall pulling over a vehicle in the area that you were patrolling?
I do.
And where was that?
It was on South Street and Campfield, across from Belize Middle School.
And about what time was that, do you recall?
I believe it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And why did you execute the stop?
We initially pulled over the vehicle for an obstructed view of his windshield.
And upon stopping the vehicle, did you encounter the appellant?
Yes.
And how was he behaving?
Nervous behavior.
And did you ask him if there were any weapons in the motor vehicle?
I did not. My partner asked him, I believe, 2 times.
And did he say there were firearms in the motor vehicle?
Initially, no.
Okay. And after he stepped out of the vehicle, what did you and your partner locate in the vehicle?
2 firearms.
Okay. Where were those firearms located?
There was a firearm in the center console, and there was a second firearm in a small satchel between the driver's seat and the center console.
And were those firearms loaded?
One of them was, yes.
Okay. And it was around chambered?
Yes.
Okay. What else did you locate in the vehicle?
We located inside the first satchel with the firearm approximately 110 individually packaged bags of what I believe to be fentanyl heroin, as well as $4,600, something around there.
And how was the money kept?
It was individually packaged in smaller denominations as well.
And based on your training experience, what is that packaging consistent with of the drugs?
Someone who is selling narcotics.
And as well with the money, what is that kind of keeping of the money by denomination consistent with?
Again, the sale of narcotics.
Thank you very much. No further questions.
Sir, do you have any questions of the detective based on what she just testified to?
She just said that it happened around 2 in the afternoon. That happened at 10 in the morning.
You're going to get to present your side of the story, but do you have questions for her?
No, I don't.
Does the board have questions of the witness, Chief?
Was there anyone else in the car?
There was. I believe there was a female passenger.
A female adult or
yes.
Child or?
A female adult passenger.
Thank you.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, counsel, do you have any other witnesses?
I do not.
Okay, sir, you can tell us what you'd like us to know.
She said it happened at around 2 in the afternoon. That happened at 10, 11 in the morning. And my girlfriend was the one that said that there was no weapon because she didn't have nothing on her. So I was the one that was carrying the weapon. Both of them was registered. And the money that I had sold 2 cars that morning because I was going through a lot. I had lost my job. I got 3 kids. So she said I was selling drugs. I never sold drugs in my life. my first case ever.
Counsel, do you have cross?
I do. Sir, was there drugs packaged in the car as well?
There was.
Were they in the bag with the gun that you just said you were the owner of?
Yes.
Okay.
And the gun, there was a gun in my bag, and one was inside the glove compartment.
Okay. But the one in the bag did have 110 wax paper,
yes,
with drugs
in it? Yes, like I said, I was going through a lot. I had bought it that morning.
I don't want you to say anything that's going to incriminate yourself.
No, no,
I just,
no,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, sir.
So,
and you indicated that your girlfriend did not have a gun on her person. Is that correct?
She had hers because she got a gun pregnant. But she was nervous, so she was like, no, I do not have nothing.
But to clarify the record, sir,
yes,
did she have a gun on her,
yes,
person as
did.
Well? Okay, thank you.
But she was nervous. She was the one that was nervous, and she was like, I know, I do not have nothing. And I was like, okay, she don't got nothing, okay. When they searched her, she had her gun. She got a gun pregnant, so.
Thank you, counsel.
Questions by the board? Chief?
So there are three guns in the car?
Yes. Two were mine, and one was my girlfriend's.
Okay. You seem to make an issue of the time being inaccurate. Do you understand we're not here about the time that this happened? We're here about you had guns in the car with sale of drugs. Were you selling drugs?
No, I wasn't.
Was your girlfriend selling drugs?
No.
What were the drugs doing there?
I was going through a lot that time.
All right. A lot of people are going through a lot, but they don't have heroin and fentanyl with them. What were the drugs doing in your car?
Like I said, I bought it that morning for me to use. So.
110 bags?
It was, yeah.
So you're a heroin? Are you a narcotics user?
I was.
How long?
I went through a program and all that.
When did you start using narcotics, heroin, or fentanyl?
Around that time.
Okay. When did you stop?
When I caught the case, I went through a program.
How many years were you using heroin or fentanyl?
Months, basically, not years.
Were there any needles in the car?
No.
How were you going to use the heroin and fentanyl?
I was mixing them with weed.
Was there?
Okay.
So you were smoking?
Yes.
Okay. Were there, how did you smoke it? In a pipe and papers? Were the papers in the car?
No.
No. Just the drugs?
Yeah.
What about the cash? You said you sold a car,
yeah,
but the way they described the cash was packaged in individual amounts, mm-hmm, not one.
Everything was together.
What kind of car did you sell?
I have sold a Honda Accord.
How much?
It was like $3,500.
And to who?
To a friend of mine.
What's your friend's name?
Lisandra.
Okay. You understand they can check that.
Yeah.
And if you're not accurate
proof
here,
yeah,
that could be perjury. You understand,
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're telling the board and telling the issuing authority that you had two of your guns in the car, your girlfriend had a gun,
mm-hmm,
you had 110 bags of heroin or fentanyl,
yep,
marijuana,
yep,
cash.
Yep.
You were not dealing drugs. It was all for personal use.
Yep. I was working. I was working. I had lost a job. And then like a week, 2 weeks later, I started a program.
What program did you go to?
They put, I forgot. It's in Hartford. I forgot the street name too. They put me in an alcohol and drug program.
They put you in. Is that because of the court? Was that court ordered?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Tell me about the treatment. How many times did you go?
I went all the time. I think it was like 12 visits, I think it was.
And what was the outcome after the treatment was over?
Everything was fine.
What does that mean?
I completed it and then I just started working.
So are you testifying that you went from a non-drug user to having 110 bags of heroin and fentanyl in a very, very short time? And then quitting right after.
I quit. Yeah, I don't smoke. I don't do nothing.
When was the last time you smoked marijuana?
Like in December.
December of 2023.
Yes.
And how much marijuana were you smoking at the time? A lot.
Yes.
When did this incident happen? This was 21, right?
Yes.
So from the time this incident happened, you continued to use marijuana.
I was smoking marijuana since like 2020. And about the heroin. I started beginning of 2021.
You understand the story is hard to believe.
Everything is on paper, right?
Well, except the reason, you know, that you were selling. You say you're not selling drugs, but you just had a, you possessed a lot of drugs. You just weren't going to sell them. You were going to use them. And with the guns. Were you high at the time?
Yes.
When you got stopped, you were high? So were you driving?
Yes.
So you were driving high with two guns, one of which was loaded.
I mean, I didn't have no gun loaded. But
well, they testified that you had one in the center console that was loaded with one in the chamber. Is that accurate?
When I had the gun permit, when I had my guns, I never loaded. I got kids.
On that day, was the gun in the center console loaded with one in the chamber?
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. So they're wrong?
Yes.
All right, thanks.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, sir, do you have any other witnesses? Would you like to make a closing statement?
I don't got nothing else to say.
So no? Closing statement.
Just briefly, as noted, after the stop was executed, it became apparent that the appellant had drugs in the car that were consistent with sale, also supported by the money separated by denominations, and had two firearms in his possession. One, the occupant also had a gun in her possession, and one was loaded. Thank you very much.
Comments by the board? Okay, seeing none. Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
The chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all. Yes, your case is all set. We found against you, so your appeal has been denied. You'll get notice in the mail from us as well.
Okay.
Thank you. Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Case number 324-366. Start with counsel identifying themselves for the record as well as their witnesses and spell the last names.
Sure. Detective John Femia, representing the issuing authority, Chief Roberto Rosado and Marion Police Department. My witnesses will be Mr. John Williams and Officer Jeffrey Ricken. And my last name is spelled F as in Frank, E-M-I-A.
What's officer's officer?
Ricken, W-I-T-K-I-M.
Thank you, officer.
And Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant, and his mom testified also.
And mom's name?
Tammy Malachowski.
Can you spell your last name?
Yeah. Malachowetzki.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, Detective Femia, would you like to make an opening statement?
I would, but sure, if this is the appropriate time the board wants to address it. I had filed an objection to some potential testimony related to any mental health. The appellant, if he didn't have his treating providers present, and
okay.
I was wondering if he intends to introduce that evidence.
I think we'll get that to that when we get there.
Okay, I wasn't sure what time the board wanted to address it.
Yeah, if there's a hearsay issue, then we can address it then.
Okay. All right. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. The issuing authority denied appellant's permit application for two reasons. Concerns over entirely about suitability related to the appellant's mental health issues that were brought forth, as well as concerns by the appellant's father that the appellant was not a suitable person that was brought to the police department's attention by the father. And the basis of that, as well as a previous arrest that was taken into consideration for domestic violence when the appellant was an adult and that the past 5 years, the issuing authority denied the appellant's permit and stands by its denial.
Okay. Counsel?
I'll pass, thanks.
Okay, detective, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you. I'd like to call Mr. John Williams to the stand. Mr. Williams is a police service technician with the Maryland Police Department. He's a retired detective from the Maryland Police Department and is currently a detective for another law enforcement agency in the state, but is testifying in his capacity as a civilian. Mr. Williams, can you please tell the board a little bit about what your role is at the Maryland Police Department in relation to this department applications?
Sure. So my role at the Maryland Police Department is I process applications from A to Z. When they come in, go to our records division. They're then placed in my file. I then bring them to my office, and they get processed. I do all the checks, NCIC checks, all the background checks, contact the appellants if we have any issues, requesting any kind of paperwork or anything, and then I make a recommendation, and that gets forwarded up the chain to the chief of police, and he makes the deciding factor.
As part of your duties, do you conduct a background investigation into the appellant?
Correct.
Yes. And in the course of your duties, have you had cause to conduct one or more inquiries into the appellant?
I did.
Would you please tell the board about the inquiries that you conducted and the results of your inquiries?
Sure. So in 2022, the appellant originally applied for a pistol permit in Maryland. On the application, he put down that he had bipolar disorder. So that was a red flag for us. So during the background investigation, before I even started the background investigation on his permit, I hadn't even looked at his permit. I was contacted by an officer from the Maryland Police Department who stated that he was contacted by the appellant's father, who he resides with, and the father had major concerns about his son applying for pistol permit. The father went as far as state that he felt himself would be in danger if his son, who resides with him, was issued a pistol permit.
I'm going to object to all this hearsay testimony. Where's the father?
Yeah. Objection sustained. He can't be testifying about what somebody else. I think that's two levels of hearsay.
I would agree, except respectfully, I believe the appellant and the issuing authority attempted to ask father to come, and he refuses. And
I can object to speaking for the appellant. Thank you very much. I'd like to know how you know what the appellant did.
Because the father said that he would refuse a subpoena from the appellant.
More testimony.
Well, I don't know if you can.
Here's that testimony.
I suppose if he had subpoenaed him, that would be one issue. But if he said he refused a subpoena, then we would have addressed it at that point. But I'm going to sustain the objection. It's clearly hearsay.
Okay.
So, Officer Wicken provided me with a bunch of information. I conducted the background. During the background, it was found that the appellant was arrested in 2020 for domestic violence. That case was subsequently nullied. However, based on the mental health issues, we did ask the appellant in 2022, for any kind of information from his therapist on what the status of his mental health is. The appellant didn't supply that at that time. So we declined his permit. He applied for a hearing before this board, and a couple weeks before the hearing, he withdrew his hearing. Subsequently, he reapplied in 2023. In 2023, he included a letter from his therapist about his mental health. However, I spoke again with Officer Wicken. Officer Wicken maintained the relationship with the appellant and his father and stated that the same concerns in 2022 were in 2023.
I'm going to object to this hearsay testimony. Officer Wicken is here to testify about whatever really happened, and so I can cross-examine him. I can't cross-examine you about what he said.
And I'll call Officer Wicken in due course.
Okay.
So
would you please stick to your own testimony?
So that's sustained as well. So let's get it from the source as much as we can.
So when after all of that, the chief of police issued a denial for the second permit, which brought us here today.
Mr. Williams, do you know why appellant was able to get a second hearing, or what the basis of his second permit is in terms of employment or other needs?
Yes, on his application, he stated he needed a pistol permit for employment opportunities.
No further questions for this witness.
Cross.
Thank you. Mr. Williams, didn't you receive a letter from a mental health treater in connection with the appellant?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, approximately October of last year. Would that be accurate?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, and doesn't that letter state in some detail, I'm looking at it right now, dated October 20th, 23, from Dr. Olivia Carter. Does it state?
Objection. I believe the document isn't in evidence before the board, so he's asking about something that's not in evidence.
I'm obligated to show it to him. He's seen it a million times already.
You're reading
I think that looks right familiar, isn't it? That's in our packet, right?
I don't believe it is.
Let's start with this.
Well,
you've seen this letter before, right? It was provided.
Wait, objection. Let's
well, what is it? We haven't got. I don't know what it
well,
is
we
yet.
We do have.
Start by identifying
yes.
it. All right,
okay. We do have a letter in our packet.
Okay,
at least one.
Which
one is it?
I don't know yet. Let's okay. establish what it is first. We can
you've
decide.
Seen this letter before, right?
I have.
Right, if you buy the appellant, right?
Correct.
Approximately last October, right?
Correct.
And it's from Dr. Olivia Carter, dated October 20th, 23. Is that correct?
That's what's stamped on it, yes. Her signature is not on it, but that is some type of stamp that she stamped on.
Did you do anything to verify it was from her?
I did.
What's the date?
I sent the, this is dated October 20th, 2023. I did. I sent the therapist a letter. Mm-hmm. Asking for clarification, and if this is authentic, and she actually sent it, and the therapist never responded to me.
All right, so there's an objection, but we have this. Was this provided as part of your evidence to...
Well, they've had it since last October.
I don't believe it's part of the packet.
It's something that they have had in connection with the case. It's like part of his application.
But it wasn't submitted in our packet to the board, and it wasn't submitted in his packet to the
okay.
board, as far as I know.
So that's the problem.
Well, we
no,
have
it is.
It.
There's
we have
a,
it here.
There's a, I sent you the packet. It's
okay.
I didn't
yes.
think the letter was in Dr. Olivia.
I didn't see it.
So
see
you
it.
Sent the packet to them, and they
mm-hmm.
didn't object.
Middleton, I did.
All
right. Meriden, yes.
All right. So the packet, the letter is in evidence. The question will go to what weight we're going to give to it. So it's in evidence because you didn't object with
well,
it.
I
this was.
I believe it.
We did object to it prior to the hearing.
Oh, you did object.
We did object to it.
We did.
Right.
He's saying he objects on the basis that Dr. Carter is not here.
I can't question the author of the
correct.
Letter. I can't,
she
I can't
did object to that prior
I
to that.
I can't cross-examine a letter.
Ralph and that. Objection
so
to
he, oh.
medical documentation because he wants somebody to talk to
about the letter.
About
right.
the letter because
okay.
there's no.
All reason. Right.
And I'd like to argue against that objection.
Okay, go ahead.
For a start, this is the same letter that they requested from the appellant. Way before the hearing, last October. They've had
yeah.
it since last October.
Yeah.
And...
Well, they requested it, but...
And under our law, medical documentation is acceptable. It's not considered hearsay evidence in court.
Under...
It can be hearsay.
What? It is hearsay.
But this is the same letter that they requested.
I know they requested it, but how are we going to cross-examine
no,
this?
It was provided. I don't believe...
The board accepts documentary... Hearsay
if it's not objected to.
I can't cross-examine a letter.
Right.
I can't find the basis of the medical treatment provider's opinion. I can't, you know, delve into what treatment,
right.
what analysis, what medication,
right.
and if any fact patterns or information changes the opinion in the letter. Especially
right.
telling that the provider wouldn't respond to our attempts to...
All right. Yeah, given that detective objected within our time frames, mm-hmm. this document should be excluded because we... It's hearsay. We can't cross-examine.
I'm going to ask for a continuance then so we can get Dr. Carter here. I had every expectation that the board would accept this, as it always has accepted these type of letters.
And I would object to that because I asked Attorney Sherman if he intended to call the mental health treatment provider, and he said, I don't know. So clearly he knew this was going to be an issue before the board, and this is just wasting the issuing authority's time.
Well, that was about 5 days before the hearing. There's no way I could get a medical provider 5 days before the hearing.
You could have had one before this. You know this is the basis of your case. This is mental fitness. You easily could have had the provider ready to go.
Thoughts by the board on the continuance request? Chief?
I'm trying to think if I have any thoughts. It's unusual because Attorney Sherman is correct. We usually do accept these letters, but there is no objection.
Right.
And that throws a wrinkle into it. It's always better if we had the doc here, but I don't know that we ever have.
Yeah, we don't usually get an objection to it,
yeah.
but it is clearly hearsay, so.
in the weight of the letter, it doesn't mention fire. There are a whole bunch of problems, in my opinion, with the letter in and of itself. It's now it's a little old. It doesn't mention firearms and things like that. So I don't know how much value it has anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it has a ton of value anyways, but I'm inclined to grant the continuance because I'd really love to hear from the treatment provider. And the board itself reserves the right to subpoena additional testimony. I'd be inclined to grant the continuance if it's your intention to subpoena or have arranged for the treatment provider to be here at the next hearing.
We'll do our best.
Okay. All right, the continuance is granted.
Can I discuss later with the staff about the
yes,
later?
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Matters continued to a date to be determined.